This is Rumble in the Morning on FM 99.
So let's do some news and find out what's going on out in the world this morning. Sean is here with that.
Yes, and we got some new rules for international travelers. And a third of us have done this. Maybe we need to be a little less creative.
Okay.
News brought to you by Huffman & Huffman. Holding a cell phone while you're driving is now against the law in Virginia. If one of these idiots hits you, call Huffman & Huffman at 422-HELP before you call anyone else. The leaders of a Senate panel have called executives from YouTube, TikTok, and Snapchat to face questions on what the companies are doing to ensure young users' safety. A lot of this because of what we've seen with Facebook recently.
The Facebook papers.
Yes.
That's what they're calling them.
Getting to those in just a moment. Yeah. The hearing Tuesday comes as the panel bears down on the hugely popular social media platforms and their impact on children. The Senate Commerce Subcommittee is fresh off a highly charged hearing of the former Facebook data scientist, Haugen. We've heard her speak numerous times.
She spoke in Britain yesterday.
Mm-hmm. She laid out internal company research showing that Facebook's Instagram photo sharing service appears to seriously harm some teens. The panel is widening its focus to examine other tech platforms with millions or billions of users that also compete for young people's attention. The Facebook papers, as you referenced, some people have heard that name and may not understand what that is. It represents a collaboration amongst a bunch of news organizations, journalists and everything. They got together. They gained access to thousands of pages of internal company documents that were obtained by Francis Haugen, who was the whistleblower from Facebook.
This is a huge deal. I got a update on my phone the other day because I subscribed to several news services for the radio show.
Yeah.
And the one from the Associated Press broke down the Facebook papers.
Mm-hmm.
And each news organization and what portion of it they would be responsible for, because it's too much data for any one to go through.
That's insane.
What's going on. So they've divvied it all up amongst trusted sources to suss out what is contained in here. And I'm looking at this and I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
Yeah. And the thing is, you're exactly right about that, because I've tried to go through some of the lengthier posts about it.
Hey, do your research, man.
And let me
read
tell you,
1,000 pages, man.
I
and understand it all.
I didn't understand anything. Yeah, you really need somebody to go through it for you and help you break down what some of this means.
Professional organizations are teaming up because there's not enough eyeballs.
Yeah, the papers are redacted versions of disclosures that Haugen has made over several months to the Securities and Exchange Commission, alleging Facebook was prioritizing profits over safety and hiding its research from investors and the public. These complaints cover topics including how its platforms might harm children and its alleged role in inciting political violence, which we
And now Facebook has lost a considerable number of teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 18% or something. It's a significant number in just the last few years. And so yesterday, Zuckerberg says they're going to retool to refocus on a younger audience. So this can't be any more right on time. Let's find out what it's doing to this younger audience.
Without a doubt. Yeah. Amid fallout from those Facebook papers showing its failure to address the issues, Facebook on Monday reported a higher profit for the latest quarter, buoyed by strong advertising revenue. So they're still making money hand over fist, even while all this is going on.
They're going to.
Yeah,
they're always going to.
Yeah, it's just crazy when you stop and think about how big of a thing this has become.
Yeah.
That, I mean, like you said, this is a huge story that's coming out.
It's just beginning. It's just beginning.
Yeah.
Until some of this stuff starts to tumble out. And it's in their own words and their own writing. That's the thing. It's not hearsay. It's not a said, I saw kind of first-person testimony.
This isn't Frances Haugen.
These are
their
docs.
This isn't Frances Haugen has a book coming out. And
she very well
she
could.
She may, but it's not just one of those situations where I'm going to now tell you about all these things I observed.
Yeah.
This is, like you said, they're in their own words.
Sure.
Documents from the
I am surprised, though, that so far, anyway, Facebook hasn't sued Frances.
Yeah.
And anybody that's, we haven't seen it yet. Let's see when they start to publish some of this stuff, if the lawsuits don't start flying.
Yeah.
Is this their property? Now, was this solved? Are you familiar with the Pentagon Papers?
I do. Yeah. Yeah. I do remember the Pentagon Papers.
They made a movie about it.
Yes.
It's a Tom Hanks movie.
I think
you would have loved it.
Oh, probably.
The papers were that basically it was the Pentagon's account of the Vietnam War, and we were losing it, but they weren't telling us that.
Yes.
But the real thing was somebody boosted this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This belonged to the Department of Defense. This belongs to the Pentagon.
Right.
And gave it to a newspaper. And did they have the right to publish the information?
Right.
It was an ownership issue.
Yeah.
And ultimately, the courts found on the side of the newspaper. And I don't remember exactly what the crux of the ruling was. So maybe that extends into something like this.
Maybe.
Because this is property.
Yeah.
You don't get to just lift my personal property or data that I have paid for and paid people to extract, and then you just take it and give it to somebody else and use it for your own purposes.
And she was one of those people, too, because she was a data scientist. Exactly. So she was one of those people paid to find this.
We didn't like it when Bradley, he's transgender now, and I don't know his female name.
Oh, yes.
But we didn't like it when he stole those thumb drives and ripped off all those government secrets.
That's true. So we'll see what happens, I suppose. Other big news still going on. Unfortunately, the gun that killed Rust cinematographer Halina Hutchins last Thursday was used by crew members that morning for live ammunition target practice. A number of crew members had taken prop guns from the New Mexico set of the Indy Western, including the gun that killed Hutchins, to shoot at beer cans. The shooting happened just a few hours later when Alec Baldwin discharged the revolver after First Assistant Director David Hallis confirmed it had no live ammo. He had grabbed one of the three prop guns set up by armorer Hannah Gutierrez. Baldwin was rehearsing a scene for the film and pointing the revolver towards the camera lens when it hit director Joel Souza and Hutchins, several members of the film's camera crew had walked off set earlier that day complaining about housing, pay, and working conditions. Producers scrambled to find a new crew who may have been inexperienced as part of the issue they're seeing here.
So the dude, David, who's the assistant?
David Halls?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had been fired for this 2 years ago from another movie for an unsafe handling of guns. And then they also had an armorer like three movies ago who said, we're all flagging this guy. He doesn't know his way around this stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
It is a total train wreck.
Well, and the one they ended up with, Hannah Gutierrez, it was only her second movie.
Yeah, she's the armorer.
Her previous movie was the Nicolas Cage one. In her own words, she wasn't sure she's ready for this job.
This whole thing, in the last movie.
Yeah, in the last movie.
This whole thing is being done on the cheap. Mm-hmm. They've already said it's a low-budget film.
It's
in and film, they're stretching the crew too far, and they're not hiring the A1 people. And, man.
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm.
Well, Hollywood professionals say they're baffled by the circumstances of the New Mexico movie set shooting that left that cinematographer dead. Adding that production crews have stepped up safety measures. Jeffrey Wright says the death has brought a renewed attention to detail on the set of Westworld, the HBO series.
Yeah.
He also says he's never been handed a weapon on set without seeing that the barrel was clear.
Yes, that's that
101
thing. 101. I mean, not that you cleared. Not necessarily. I mean, you should clear it yourself. Ultimately, the responsibility is whoever squeezes one off.
Yeah.
But, you know, anybody that's ever handed me a weapon has handed me an open weapon so that I could see it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That it was empty.
I should say any responsible gun owner I've ever met has handed me when they hand it to me. Like you said, they will open it.
You're supposed to break it open.
Yes,
right.
And show me. However, that.
Well,
yes.
You can, in a semi, you can lock it open.
Yes, exactly. And they will show you.
Revolver, you just break in half.
Exactly. Yeah. But either way, somebody's usually more careful than that. He also said Jeffrey Wright, by the way, says he's never been handed a weapon that didn't have that happen. The Umbrella Academy star Justin Min says precautions were taken to another level after the shooting broke. Ray Liotta, who we've seen in a million things, talked about his experience.
He's handled a lot of guns in the movies.
Yeah, he's talked about it.
He beat the
it.
Hell out of somebody with the butt of one of those in Goodfellas.
I remember.
Obviously, there's the people who handle the guns. They always, that I know, they check it so you can see that it's not. They give it to the person you're pointing the gun at. They do it to the producer. They just show whoever's there that it doesn't work.
Yes.
And see that.
I would want to do that.
Yeah. Rather than just handing a gun to somebody and saying,
here
it's good.
Here you go.
Yeah, I would absolutely. And see, actually, the short film that I was in, Killer Reunion Bro, even on a small level like that, we had a prop firearm, but it was a real firearm.
Oh, yeah.
And we did exactly that. We opened it up and showed everybody in the scene or that was filming that there was nothing in it so that it couldn't fire.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we did that exact same thing. So it's tragic this had to happen like this, unfortunately. That investigation is still going on, by the way. No charges have been filed yet. Moderna says its low-dose COVID-19 vaccine is safe and appears to work in 6 to 11-year-olds.
Awesome. Let's put it in drinking fountains.
It's the second U.S. vaccine aimed at eventually being offered to children. Already, the Food and Drug Administration is considering kid-sized doses of the Pfizer vaccine for elementary school-aged children. If they've got that panel today discussing that, and if they okay that, it's thought that you know this is going to happen relatively quickly with Pfizer.
Right.
As for Moderna, the company said half-dose shots induce strong levels of virus-fighting antibodies in youngsters with temporary side effects such as fever and fatigue like we all got.
Tim. Have you talked to Parker today?
No.
Down the hall at the Fox?
No.
He got a booster shot yesterday.
Did he?
And he is stinging.
Is he?
He came in. He stopped in my office this morning. He goes, well, so much for that being a nothing. I'm like, where did you read it was a nothing? I read it was kind of like round two.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm fully prepared. I'm doing this on a Friday because I'm thinking I'm going to be on the couch on Saturday for a little while.
Yeah, depending on where and when I have to get mine.
Yeah.
You know, whenever I did my previous two, it was set up that I can only, it was a Tuesday and a Wednesday, I think.
Well, now you have an option. You don't have to do it exactly to the day.
Yeah, well, because it's not as hard to do as it was previously.
Right, true. Now
I could probably go to my doctor's office and get it done.
You probably, there's probably a kiosk at the mall.
Probably.
By this point, you know, those guys from Israel, you know, it comes from the Dead Sea. You're going to love the way this feels on the hands.
Yes.
Would you like a COVID booster? I have COVID booster.
Oh.
Yeah. But you're going to have to pay mall prices.
Yeah, well.
Don't get your booster at the airport because those prices are crazy. Movie theater booster? Horrible idea.
Under the Biden administration's new rules, airlines will be required to collect contact information on passengers, regardless of whether they have been vaccinated, to help with contact tracing for international stuff.
Understand.
If that becomes necessary. Beginning November 8th, foreign non-immigrant adults traveling to the U.S. will need to be fully vaccinated, with only limited exceptions. There are going to be very few exceptions to this rule.
Primarily, children under the age of 18 and certain individuals from countries where vaccines are not yet readily accessible. Those who are eligible to travel, but not yet vaccinated, will need to provide proof of a negative COVID-19 test within one day before their flight's departure. For those who are vaccinated, the testing requirement remains 3 days before their flight.
So if you're vaccinated, you get a couple extra days on that testing.
Yeah.
That was a representative from the State Department, by the way. Airlines that don't enforce these new guidelines are liable to be fined $3,500 per violation.
No, that's pretty serious.
Which can add up pretty quickly if you're not careful. So,
you know, one of the weird things was in August of 2020, knee-deep in the hoopla, to borrow a phrase that Rod hates, we drove Molly to Dallas so she and her boyfriend could move to San Francisco and she could begin her adventure into her world.
Mm-hmm.
But along the way, we stopped in Memphis, which is a city that we used to live in.
Yeah.
And it was really kind of Walking Dead, really creepy, because it's one of these cities that's predicated on walking. It's an outdoorsy, the blues, you know.
Yep.
A lot of bright lights and nobody on the street. You know, just like masks blowing down the street. The only people out are street people. So we stopped in this restaurant. We're going to get something to eat. And in order to get a table, we had to sign in with our name, address, and phone number.
Right.
So they could contact trace us.
If you ever
we just thought that was so
wild.
You know, woo.
Yeah.
Because it's not like an agency or an official state, anything is collecting this. It's just a 3-ring binder
you know,
at the hostess stand.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to have your name, your phone number, just in case.
I was going to say, but everybody's trying to cover their, you know, their backsides and trying to make sure that, God forbid, something happens.
Ostensibly get a hold of you if you're exposed to this.
Yeah.
I mean, they're doing you a favor, in a sense.
Well, and they know, essentially, too, the State Department, most likely, or from that state, is going to come a knocking if all of a sudden there's an issue.
Oh, perhaps.
And they're going to want the information that they have, so they're like, hey, let's do this
now. So they can run them down, sure.
Yeah. And we'll finish with this. A new survey of 2,000 individuals looked at how they've gotten creative when cooking and found that many believe it's no easy feat. 1/3 of Americans have almost burned down their kitchen by cooking a dish they have no clue how to make.
Wow.
But that doesn't stop us. 7 in 10 said cooking is one of their favorite ways to express their creativity. And although a similar number said their first attempt at a new dish usually goes well, most people are still likely to stick to as close to the recipe as possible so they don't mess it up. The survey found that 65% of us feel more chef-like when creating unique food combinations. Home chefs are most likely to get creative in the kitchen during the holidays because we think we're going to be fancy.
Of course.
Birthdays or when we're having guests over. When they're feeling creative, 35% said they visit a special grocery store for exciting ingredients.
Yeah. Yeah, how fun.
Have you ever almost burned the kitchen down?
I have not almost burned the kitchen down.
I've caused a fire.
In the kitchen?
It was
really?
It was over relatively quickly.
All right.
And it wasn't being creative at all. It was being lazy because you put the pizza in, you forget that the pizza's in there. You also forget that you left the cardboard under it.
Oh, yes. That's a pretty common one.
That becomes a problem.
When we were having our kitchen renovated and we were eating out of the toaster oven, mm-hmm. and we had an electric fry pan or something that we had this all set up in the dining room, right? And I remember thinking I was going to be clever, and I took one of these oven-proof, it's plastic, but it's oven-proof. It's like the thing the rotisserie chicken comes in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I took that and I sat it on top of the toaster oven, not in the toaster oven, on top of the toaster oven. Melted like a damn Salvador Dali clock. Melted all down in the thing. I'm like, what? I thought this was heat proof, but I guess not.
No, I would see it would appear not
to a certain temperature.
Yeah, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it just became liquid.
Well, today it's going to be partly sunny with a high near 70. Northwest winds 10 to 18 miles per hour with gusts as high as 30 miles per hour. So windy. Yeah. Tonight partly cloudy with a low around 60, and tomorrow mostly sunny with a high near 68. Right now, last check, 62 degrees. With the news, I'm Sean Hood for Rumble in the Morning on FM 99.
Wonderful.